scripture reading today comes from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. Amen and amen.
Our second reading comes from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. This is from David's psalm. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, speak to each heart and mind in this congregation. May they forget the speaker and hear you and you only. In Jesus' name. Nowhere in the Bible is the worship of God defined. So I made up my own definition. I define worship three ways. One, my first definition is an acknowledgement of who Jesus is. In Matthew 14:33, the story of the storm, Matthew tells us, then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I define worship as an acknowledgement of what Jesus has done for us. In Hebrews 11, we read, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's children and worshiped, leaning on his staff. I define worship also as an acknowledgement of what Jesus is going to do for us. In the Second Chronicles 20, we read of what Jehoshaphat did. A little bit of background: the army of Israel is surrounded by their enemies. They have two chances of winning, slim and none. So what does Jehoshaphat do? He doesn't plan. He organizes a praise service. He says, early in the morning, they set out for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, and all the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him in the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. If you read through the Psalms, David, really, despite all circumstances, worshiped God. At least 47, I believe I counted, of the Psalms begin with, or exhort us to praise the Lord. We are indeed instructed to not give up meeting together, as some are prone to do. Form and order are important, but in my humble opinion, Worship is so much more. We seem to seem to have lost the, shall we say, the significance or the personal side of worship. Why, I've often asked myself, should we confine the worship of Jesus to 1 hour a day, 1 hour a week? Worship, again, in my opinion, is more than Sunday morning. It's personal. It should be a daily practice. It seems to me that many Christians today seem to be more concerned about their lives than worshiping God. Again, it's a habit we've gotten into. It seems we would rather worry than worship, plan rather than praise. For years, like many believers, I had my morning devotions, went about my day, giving no more of a thought to God or to Jesus. Then about 3 years ago, 2.5 years, the Spirit convicted me. By the way, he's very good at doing that. Permit me to share some of the lessons I've learned regarding personal worship. Personal worship changes our faces. It changes frowns to smiles. It changes worries to smiles. And that's important because the one thing, if not the only thing, people see is our face. And a worried look, a fearful look, doesn't say anything about our faith or about Jesus. Personal worship changes our attitude. It turns bitterness into forgiveness. It turns anger into grace, selfishness into altruism, and hatred into love. Personal worship changes despair into hope. It serves to remind us that there is someone greater than our problems and our troubles. My walks at 6 a.m, which I've shared many times, allows me to take my eyes off my trouble and focus on Jesus. In the quietness of the morning, I notice the mountains, the fields, the sun, and just electrically, is like an electric pulse in my mind. Often, I find myself praising God or singing or humming the doxology or the Gloria Patri. I know I don't sing very well, but God doesn't mind it. God doesn't mind. And finally, personal worship also enlarges our perception of God. Max Lucado writes, it's like stepping into the cockpit to see where he sits and observe how he works. Of course, his size doesn't change, but our perception of him does. As we draw nearer, he seems larger. And isn't that what we need? A big view of God? Of course we do. We have big worries, big questions. Hence, we need a bigger God. Peter was doing fine until he took his eyes off Jesus. We are quick enough, sometimes too quick, to come before the King with our requests and our problems, and so slow to come with him before him with our praise and worship. Personal worship requires setting aside a time to be quiet and focus on Jesus. And this is indeed difficult to do. It seems that we put so much emphasis on everything else. It's a difficult habit to break, but with the Spirit's help, can be accomplished. We live in a world filled with noise, many voices calling for our attention. We live in a world that is moving at a mind-numbing speed, and it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle. There are so many situations demanding our attention. I leave you with 3 questions to ponder. 1, what has Jesus Christ done for you? 2, what is he doing for you? 3, what is he going to do for you? These, to me, are the like the three legs of a stool. Take one away, and the stool will fall. And that's my request. That's my challenge to you. Amen.
Thank you, Russ, for reminding us that every moment of every day should be a form of worship. We are so indebted to what the Lord has done in our lives. So, yes, every moment should be a form of worship. Thank you, Russ. Our last hymn for today is How Great Thou Art. Please rise if you can. Hymn number 147.
my charge to you this week to take some time out, think about who Jesus is, what he has done for you, and what he is going to do for you, and to take time to give him praise and thanksgiving. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
A reminder, there is coffee and goodies downstairs. Help yourselves.